Talk about, you ever been on Facebook? Okay, yes. All right. So my parents-in-law are here, and they know that, like, I was on Facebook as a pastor, and I started coming to church, right? And I would come to church, and people would say, you know, you didn't look at my stuff. And I'd say, what stuff? Like, on Facebook, you commented on so-and-so stuff, but not on mine. And I was like, oh, gosh. Well, you know, after a couple of months of that, right, you start to, if you're a perfectionist, and actually, I'm not a perfectionist, I'm a people pleaser. And so after a couple months of that, I was starting to obsess. You ever obsess? Just say yes, because all of you have at some point in your life. And so I would stay up hours at night doing what? Scrolling and liking before Sundays to make sure I covered, right? I'd start thinking of people that said, hey, you didn't like my stuff. And so I'd go on and make sure I liked something, right? And like, I mean, it just, so I had to go off because like I can't spend my whole night making sure to please everybody. It's too hard, right? And so anyway, but here's the problem. And watch Facebook shut us down today, okay? I'm just going to, like, talk against Facebook. So it's probably listening. It's already catching on. The robo's going to say nix. And so anyway, if you're online, go on our website. You can watch it there too. But here's the deal. I think social media, as good as it is, and many of you love it, you're obsessed, you spend hours on it, keep doing it. I'm not talking against social media. But what I'm talking about is friendship. Because what happens, right? You meet somebody and you do what? You request to be friends with each other, okay? Then all of a sudden you request to be friends, right? And like, well, I've got like 1,000. Well, I got like 2,000. Well, I got like 300. Well, I got like, I'm like, okay, that what does that matter? But anyway, and then you start like occasionally seeing their stuff and you like it or you comment or you, hey, you're able to pray better. And it's a great resource for information. But I wouldn't say that every person that you have allowed to like your page or like your is like a friend. Okay, let's just be honest, right? They're probably not like, now you've got people on there that are like Jonathan and David, right? And like Paul and Barnabas, but probably the majority of those people aren't your like. And so what social media does is kind of messes us up, right? Because, well, so-and-so got so many, but I only got, and then all of a sudden we begin to, and friendship begins to be something that it was really never intended to be. And so today, I want you to kind of clear your minds, and I want you to really get this concept that God is and has a desire to be your friend. And that's like a whole different level. And interestingly enough, if someone says something about you, right, a positive thing, and they keep saying it about you, and then you die, right? And they keep saying it about you, and years later, they're still bringing it up, I would say it's probably what? True, okay? Now, many of you couldn't believe I said butthole last week, right? But imagine, right, if your grandkids thought you were a butthole, okay, and then when you were, like, passed away and they continue to reference you that way, you wouldn't be happy, right? Oh, my gosh, my mother-in-law, I'm sorry. She's that old-time Nazarene, you know what I mean? I'm sorry, I love you. And my father-in-law, retired minister. But anyway, but you wouldn't want that, right? You wouldn't want your grandkids, after you go, to use that as how they reference you. But I feel like once you've passed, and if like 1,000 years later they're still using the same language for you, there must be some significance to that. And why I say that is today we're going to be in James. And mind you, James did not live during the time of Abraham. Can you say Abraham? Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Doo, doo. Yeah, we're not going to do all that. I ain't dancing up here. Okay, I won't push it that far, you know. But all the way in James, obviously he didn't live with Father Abraham, right? But still, thousands of years later, they were saying something about Abraham that was so, so unique. And that today is what we're going to cover. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in James chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 23 and read his reference to Abraham. If you've got that, fine. If not, I'm going to read it. If you would, stand for the reading in honor of God's word. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend. And he was called a friend, not a servant, right? Not an associate, not a companion, not someone who followed God's ways. And he was called a friend of God. God, today, you've spoken all morning, and we're just going to ask in this time that you would continue to speak that the words that come would flow from your throne into the hearts and minds of the people sitting here and even beyond. God, we pray against the enemy. The enemy has no rights here. I'm so tired of the enemy's schemes. And so right now, we're going to pray in the name of Jesus and the power that comes with it, that your fullness would be known in this time and in this hour. And so, God, we cast him out in the name of Jesus, and we say, this is yours, and this is your time. And so we stand firm in your promises. And together, we ask all of this in agreeance and in unity. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right. I love this. Abraham believed God. Mind you, this is somebody way after his passing. This is like a generation after a generation after a generation recalling the fact that Abraham was a friend of God. I wanted to just kind of give you some theological perspectives, and I thought, why don't I just kind of do the round table and go within our denomination and our theological stance and outside, because they all kind of say similar things. One was, just as he was faithful, he might also be called the father of the obedient, but also the father of friendship. In fact, it goes on to say that then Jesus said to his disciples that you are my friends if you do what I command. Another theological perspective is this. This was a most high calling, but it was one which in all cases will result from true faith and obedience. Think about these words. This was a most high calling. Can you say most high calling? Why is that? Let me tell you about this, okay? You ever have a friend? Just say yes, okay? It keeps you awake, okay? I'm hoping you have. If you ever had a friend that you really, really trusted, okay? Most likely you probably did what? Shared something with them that maybe you didn't want other people to know. Now I'm going to tell you a scenario that has happened to all of us, and maybe even happened this week or is going to happen this week, but here's the deal. You've trusted someone with like very intimate details about yourself because you call them a friend and you saw them as someone you could share with. And so then you share this information and you journey together. And then you're walking down a hallway or you're walking down a street or you get a text or you get a video of a conversation of those intimate details being shared with someone else. Bam. What happens? Your trust is what? It is broken. It's never the same. It might get to be in the same, but my goodness, in that moment, guess what it is? It's broken. It's shattered. Now, interestingly enough, this theologian goes on to talk about this high calling, that our friendship with God is a high calling. You know why? Because not only do we trust God with very intimate things, but God trusts us. And so when we go out, right, and we're sharing things and saying things and that don't put God in like the highest of lights, we do what? We break his trust with us. And it's a journey back. Just like when our friends break trust with us, it's a journey back. Friendship is what? Just say hard. It's great, right? But sometimes it's really hard. Let's continue thinking about this, right? Another one said, God regarded Abraham as his friend because he was ever faithful to God, always submitted his will to God's. There's this word translated, the one that was used as a friend here, and that word is phileo, not like filleting stuff, right? I just always think when I read that, filleting fish. I love fish. We don't eat much of it in our house just because it's expensive, y'all. Have you bought fish recently? Don't buy it. It's too much. And if you get it, right, you got to cut into like 9 pieces and there's hardly anything left. It's not filling anyway, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about phileo, which means 3 things in this context. It means a loved one, a dear one, and a companion. Think about this. So all the way past his life, James was saying to the people, God like loved him. God was like endeared to him. God was like his companion, man. And church, this is what I want you to get as we leave today. That can be you. Because of Jesus, see, God was a little selective in the Old Testament, not being like untheological, but the Spirit of God worked differently. And because of Jesus, Jesus said to his disciples, hey, this friendship is like for whoever will. it goes on and it depicts affection and closeness. It depicts like this kind of intimacy. Have you ever had a situation, I'm not going to use personal in this one, but where like you really needed somebody to just give you a hug? Or you went to school, or you went to work, or you went to somewhere, and you were just broken by something that happened, and you wanted to just run home and like embrace, and maybe you didn't have parents that would embrace you, and so you kind of like, oh, well, they won't embrace me, and so I got to go to somebody, and you go to a friend, and they embrace you, and they give you that kind of like affectionate feeling that you need in the moments that you're broken. Like, all of us need that. Studies say that kids from 6 months to 18 months need a ton of affection from their parents, like touch and hold and hug, and we need that. Here it says that Abraham and God were affectionate. They were affectionate with one another. They had a deep love for one another. It also indicates, as you further translate it, that it was a choice. It was a choice. God didn't force Abraham. You say, why is that significant? I mean, he was God. No, Abraham wasn't, right? He was in Ur of the Chaldeans, which means he worshiped what? Idols. He was outside of. He didn't worship God. He came into the fold, into the faith, and there was this beautiful, intimate relationship. Can't pick your family, but you can pick your friends. God chose Abraham. Abraham chose God. God chooses you. Do you choose God? So, I want to just say this before I get into three things that I want to. We all leave a legacy, right? And Abraham has a legacy that's been left by James, but what do we do in our humanness, okay? Let's just be real. Many of you know the Bible well, and what we do is when I say David, we think of what? The negative stuff. Somebody said Bathsheba. There you go. That's what I'm talking about, right? Okay. So did you say Bathsheba? No, what did you say? Oh, good. Okay. You're allowed to laugh. Okay. See what, you know what I mean? Hearsay. Okay. Anyway, you don't hear the right thing. But we automatically think negative. And so with Abraham, right, we automatically think, well, pastor, didn't he? Well, think about this. I have a funeral today, right? What if I went there and decided, because I know this person well, what if I went there and said, I'm going to talk about all their failures? That's exciting, isn't it? And they'll love me for that, won't they? Just say no. If I go to your funeral and I talk about all the failures, you wouldn't be happy. And so imagine if you were remembered by your failures. And if you really line up Abraham's life, you know there were a lot more successes than there were failures. You know, when you partner with God, you're going to have a lot more successes than you will failures. And you know what God is going to remind and remember you by? Your successes with him, your movement with him, your friendship with him, your intimacy with him. If you've covered under the blood, he ain't worried about it. Maybe your friends or your family are, but he's not. He's not going to remember you by that. And so Abraham's legacy, maybe there were moments where maybe we would look and learn and study from it, but generations later, James says, you know what Abraham was reminded or remembered by? His friendship with God. And don't you want to be remembered by your family, by your church family, by your grandchildren? Don't you want them to get up to the podium and say, my grandmom, she was a friend of God. My grandpa, he was a friend of God, and he taught me what friendship with God looks like. That is the legacy of Father Abraham. And so we learn a couple of things. In the Old Testament first, I'm just going to throw out two scriptures, 2 Chronicles 27, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever. Isaiah 41:8. I love this one. It's kind of sad. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. Meaning he said, hey, I chose you, and you're a descendant of my friend, Abraham. God and Abraham were close. If you know your scriptures well, there's a moment where three strangers come to Abraham. He obviously knows that it's of God and lets them in and begins to care for them and take care of their needs. He didn't pass it on to. He attended to them. Why? Because Abraham and God were friends. And the message that they brought was that Sarah in her old age would bear a child that would begin the movement of God in such a tremendous way. Jesus did the same thing. Jesus chose his apostles to be his friends and made known to them his intentions. He trusted them with information. He trusted them with what's to come. He let them know first. If you look at scripture, oftentimes he pulled them aside or he would take them aside after the crowds and say, I want you to know more. I want you to be able to understand my heart. I want you to, and he would draw them in and he communicated with them that he wouldn't hide anything. John 15, 14 through 16 says this, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Church, put your name here. No longer are you a servant. No longer are you, but you're my friend. You're my friend. You're my friend. I choose you, choose me. So, three simple things. What are the aspects of this that make Abraham and God's friendship so beautiful? Well, the first thing is, Abraham believed God and trusted God. Trust is huge. Most of you would say, like, if you were to say, what's the greatest quality of a good friend? You would say they are trustworthy, right? They got to be trustworthy. If you can't trust them, let's be honest, every one of you in here can think of people in your head right away that aren't what? Trustworthy. And so you're careful with what you say. Now, if you want stuff to get around, right, you all know those people too, right? I'm sorry, they're in the church too. I'm like, I need this to get around. I know just who to text. You know, I mean, it's just the truth. Sorry. At least I'm not saying their names out loud. You know what I'm saying? That's a gift. Anyway, let's take money, for example, right? $100 used to be a good example, but now, like, you can barely feed, like, for a day on that. But, like, let's take $200. You all got $200 in your pocket? Take it out and pass it up. I'm just kidding, okay? Because you trust me, don't you? Listen, don't trust us with dishes or anything. They will not get back, okay? It's just too much going on in our house. They'll probably get broken, set up in the driveway. I don't know. A lamb will eat it. But people give us stuff, and I'm like, oh, no, I got to return it. Let's just leave it here, clear out the dish, and give it back because it's too much stress. Okay, I'm just being honest. Anyway, you know, somebody when we got here got mad about that because we didn't return their dish. Anyway, so $200, right? A friend comes and says, I need $200. Okay, I mean, do you trust them enough to, like, if they give it to you, they give it to you. If they don't, and you know what? Some friends, you would just say, you know what? I know what you're going through. I'm just going to give it to you, right? Well, let's up the ante. Let's take it to 1,000. Now, most of us say we don't have that, so we can just say no, right? But let's say you did. We're imagining today. We're imagining, and they say, hey, I need $1,000. Okay, now the friend pool does what? It gets smaller, okay, because you don't trust that many people. Come on now, right? We don't trust everybody with $1,000 like they're going to pay it back. And if you're a good friend, you start thinking, okay, if they're really in this hard spot, I mean, I can handle if they only give me 500, you know, like, first of all, just probably don't ask money from your friends. But anyway, then you go to 10,000. That friend pool does what? Because that means you probably have to pull from your savings, from your emergency fund, from your, and they're like, no, you don't understand. Like, I have to have this now. It gets smaller and smaller. Now, go with me here, right? It seems simple to us because all that Abraham went to, we know about it. Now, Abraham didn't and all the people didn't. And God began to speak promises to Abraham that we've turned into children's songs and Sunday school lessons. But imagine being on like the cusp of it. It isn't out there. Everybody doesn't know. And God begins to be intimate with Abraham and say, you have no idea. I'm about to do a movement in you. That James, who will come after me, or during me and after me, is going to speak about. And so church, he began to trust him with things. Do you know there are things that God wants to trust you with? He has to trust that, like, when he gives it to you, you won't go like, you know what we do when we talk about the church? Outside in the world, and like, I hear it. I go to events and I hear, like, well, you know, I mean, it's different to have one-on-one with your pastor or your friends, but like out in public on the street, at an event that's community, God entrusted us, whether we're going through stuff or not, to hold on to. It's a gift. It's entrusted. It's the same thing if you told a friend and you walk up the hallway and like, well, gosh, that's over. I ain't trusting them with anything. And then they try to text you, call you, then all of a sudden you unfriend them, and then they really know something's wrong because you've unfriended them, right? And then we wonder why the distance from God begins to come, because he can't trust us as much. He has to be careful with. But see, Abraham, he was intimate. He held on to. He believed. So we know that in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you have to ask yourself today, do you trust God enough for God to trust you? Do you trust God enough with your family, your friendships, your finances, your time, your health, your future, your. See, as far as you trust him is as far as he can trust you. He's limitless. We limit him. Next part is Abraham obeyed God. James 2:17-22, thus also by faith itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And you know, that scripture goes on, right? And you say, well, pastor, isn't like, it, yeah, I mean, salvation's free, right? But imagine like if friendship really was Facebook friendship. And so all of a sudden, like you like somebody's page or however you do that now. Anyway, you like that, and then that established your friendship, and that was it. You check up on them here and there, make a comment, hit like, dislike, write a, you know, put a mad heart or whatever, and that's it. That ain't friendship. There has to be like journeying, walking, connecting, praying. I mean, it can't. You say, well, works is a little bit like, well, man, when God calls, we have to. And it doesn't mean like be beat down or do things in the church you don't want to do, or like, but like we shared today, when God said it's time to share your faith to somebody you don't know in a place you're unlike familiar with, you do it. Why? Because you know in that moment he has spoken to you and he's trusting you. He's giving you a gift to speak, to share. Abraham obeyed God. And actually, like, if you study his life, there were some times where he had to pick up and go at not the most convenient times. Why? Because he trusted God. And so do we trust him enough to sometimes have to get up and go, move, do, serve, step aside, step in? James says it this way: by works, faith was made perfect. In fact, one of the greatest moments of Abraham's life, and it's kind of crazy in our minds, but he went to sacrifice Isaac because God said so. God stopped him, and he said some pretty tremendous works. He said, now I know that you fear me. Jesus said earlier that those who obeyed his commands were his friends. If you remember John 15:14, Jesus said, like, I need you to obey my commands. Interestingly enough, we often think that obedience, it's just like, why does God want us to be obedient in all these things? You know why? If you trust him, you'll know why. Because he is a gracious, he is a compassionate, he is an incredible God that has knit you together for plans that if we would just trust him and be obedient and live in those things, I don't think you'll even be able to understand what he can do. How would you depict your level of obedience? So I said it about trust, I'll say it about obedience. As far as you'll live in obedience to God is, again, how far he can take you. Then the third and final thing. Abraham stayed with God no matter the price tag. And I don't mean like actual price tag, but you know what I mean. He stayed. Do you know those friends that, like, through thick and thin, they stay? Even through, like, the bad, and even through, like, hey, they get mad at you sometime, and or maybe they say something that isn't so nice to your face, and it's like, but you stick there, and you stick with it, and you, those are friends that you can count on. Abraham stayed with God, no matter the price tag. Luke 16, and this is where we're going to head into communion. I didn't share a passage. I keep forgetting every service. Anyway, this passage talking about friendship with God and communing with God. Like, friendship with God is communing with God. Walking in friendship with God is communing. When you walk with friends, you're communing with them. But think about Luke chapter 16, verses 13 and on. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man at the same time. So, what's the price tag? He wants all of you. He wants all of you so that he can pour out the kind of friendship that each of us long for. And church, I'll be honest with you, there's going to be moments in your life, there's been moments in my life, where I've come to a place where I've needed someone and I've needed an embrace and I needed that infection and it wasn't there. And then a spiritual mother says, well, why didn't you seek God in that moment? Well, I don't know, I was a kid. I wasn't there yet. But now I know that no matter where, no matter who, when man, the most brokenness comes down, I know just where to go. And that's my friend. That's my Savior. That's my Jesus. And when I take communion, one of the things I always pray is, God, thank you for being my friend, no matter what, no matter where, and no matter when. And so today, as we step into a time of communion, I want you to be thinking about that. We're going to take communion now, then we're going to celebrate baptisms, but in these next few moments, if you feel like there's anything between you and the Lord, I want you to just have a private moment, bow your heads, close your eyes, prepare your hearts, prepare your minds for this time of communion. Ask God, hey, can you trust me? God, do you feel like I'm loyal? God, do you feel like I'm there? God, do you feel like I seek you in and out of season? And so right now, just begin to prepare your hearts.
So you guys, feel free to sing in your seats, feel free to stand, feel free to kneel, however you feel led to worship in this moment, as we just reflect on his goodness.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. The moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. In all my life, you have been faithful. In all my life, you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire.
Time of communion, and as we do, as you start to peel the foil off the top, if you do not have an element, we have a couple ushers. Just go ahead and slip your hands up if you'd like to partake in communion. And as you're preparing the elements, communion is a sacrament that we recognize in the Church of the Nazarene. It represents the body of Jesus that was broken for you and the blood of Jesus that was shed for you. And I can't think of any better way to begin this week of Thanksgiving than to remember to thank our Savior, our Lord. So as you take the wafer, go ahead and hold it in your hand. Don't just go through the motions, church. Think about what this represents. A cruel, terrible form of death. that the Lord willingly took for you and for me. And as you reflect on that, break it, partake, and give thanks. Likewise, Jesus said to take this in remembrance of the blood that was shed. And church, aren't you thankful? Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins. Consider this as you take. God, thank you so much for the sacrifice of your Son, who bore the cross and endured a horrible, horrible death on the cross. And in doing so, created a path of salvation, justification, sanctification, adoption, Lord, that we get to experience today. Thank you so much, Jesus, for the way that you allow us to know you as a friend. God, we know that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us, you'll never fail us. Let us rest in that goodness today. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Just give us a second to reset. Are you, is that enough room? We ready? Okay. Got some kids being baptized. We want our kiddos to see. Aren't they a beautiful little group? Gives me chills. Oh. Well, kiddos, we are glad that you were in here. Pastor Courtney, thanks for bringing them in. This is a huge step in the lives of people as believers, and so we're glad that you're here to witness it. Pastor Joey, is this the mic that... Trenisha, if you want to come on up. Hey, did you want to say anything about your testimony or... She helps us in the community center. God is doing a great work in her life. I'm going to have you sit down. Take your time. Okay. Let's put your nose there, your hand there. Trenisha, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I was just always wanting this. I was curious. I wasn't raised in church. And I'm happy. I'm happy. Thank you.
I got you. Can you make sure and walk her down? Just hold his hand so you don't fall. Valerie, you ready? Dino, you can come up here. Is your family already? Yo, kids. Yes, your parents, right? Come on now. We love you guys. If you're here during the week, you will see them. They have been here for a long time now with us, and they sit back there faithfully every week and have helped us tremendously here. The chairs, it's just been such a blessing to have them around. And not only that, but just what God is doing in their hearts is just tremendous, and it's just beautiful. And so, Valerie, it's so exciting today to be able to baptize you. I'm going to give you did you want to say anything about your testimony?
I just want to say that God always been there for me, and he has saved me for so many things, and I just want to serve him.
Hold that for me, buddy. All right, I'm going to get you in there. Just take your time. And just use this to get down. Sit all the way down, yeah. And then just push up that way. I'm going to have you put this hand or whichever hand on your nose. I got your back. And then put your other arm on your arm. There you go. Valerie, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You want to help her up?
Overcome a lot, you know. And some years ago, I was going through some triumphs, and I asked God to bring me through that, and I made some promises with him. But at the time, I didn't keep those promises. And my heart was getting heavy. I was just getting weary. I was going and coming, but I just wasn't feeling good. I feel like that I needed something. So I was praying to God to send me a church home. And I ran into Carrie. She was the first person I ran into. And she embraced me. And then I ran into Pastor Mark. He confirmed it. I'm looking for a reason to reject it. But I can't reject the goodness of God. And they've been just so wonderful to me here. So I just have to commit myself to him. And I just love God. I just want to live for him. Me and my family. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Got it. Okay. All right. Put your one hand in there. All right. Now I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm proud of you, buddy. Praise God. You know, Laura has been through quite a journey. And as I sat with her to talk about her journey and family, you know, I mean, just the turnaround and what God is doing in her life, like, it doesn't matter where you are or where you've been, God can turn you around and can set you on a path of intimacy, and it is beautiful to watch. And it has been beautiful to watch just the faith that she has had in the midst of hard times. She's continued to persevere. And so today, this is a celebration of that, and today is a choice of hers to make to step into this. And she normally goes to first service, but she said, I'll stay till the end to be here. And so here she is to celebrate with all of us. And so, Laura, I'm going to ask you to get in. You want to help her on the other side? I got you. And then take your time sitting down. There we go. All right. That's good. Okay, put your hand there. All right. Laura, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to help me.
This is Sariana Beardsley, and she has written out her testimony. In 2022, I knew of Jesus. I knew he existed, but I didn't know him. I didn't truly know I could have a relationship with him like I do now. If I could look 5 months in the past from now, I would never guess that I would be standing here right now dedicating my life to him, laying all my sins at the cross where he gave his life for me, giving my life to God, trusting him, loving him, and following him is the best decision I have ever made. I've been at AFC Nazarene for 4 months now. I've never been at a better church and never felt so safe. Yeah. In those past 4 months, I've learned so much about God, and I'm the happiest I've ever been the past year. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I have hope in you, Lord. I've always had hope. Maybe not the best hope, but I've always have hope in you, and Lord, I promise you, make my promise to you now. I'm choosing to live for you. Sariana, we've been on a journey, haven't we? And it's amazing to see how God has moved in your life. Have you accepted him as your Savior, your King, and your friend this morning? Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Justine has come today to be baptized, and she wants to share with us just a moment of what God's done in her life. It's an amazing story. Share with us today.
I just want to say that I've been baptized before, but I let the things of this world come into my life, and so I've kind of fallen back. And so God just placed it on my heart to come here today and get baptized, because we let things in this world, like work and family and relationships and stuff like that, affect our relationship with God. And so I just want to declare my heart back to Jesus today, and that's why I'm here. So Thank you.
Go ahead and close your nose. Justina, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Why you want to be baptized?
So everybody can know I love Jesus.
Awesome. That's great. Brady, today, do you choose Jesus as your Savior, your King, and your friend?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. Brady Sterling Heskett, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
She's their teacher, their quiz coach, and their friend. We're so excited for you today. You want to share with us why you want to be baptized today?
It's been almost exactly 10 years ago today that I walked into the doors at AFC as a broken and very scared girl. I have found at AFC a family, and I wanted to share this moment with all of you. I could sit here and talk for hours about how my story matters and how this church has made me realize how important that story is. And I hope that after today, that this will just be the next beginning of a new journey for me as I'm continuing this path for Christ.
All right. Kimberly Noelle Bolin, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Share with us today why you want to be baptized?
So I can spread the word with everyone.
Good. And Anna, today, do you choose Jesus as your Savior, your King, and your friend?
Yes.
Anna Jade, Yanez, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
For new life in Jesus. Let's give our baptism candidates another round of applause. Praise the Lord. Well, have we been to church or what this morning? Amen. Stand to your feet as we close. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so much for your mercy. Thank you so much for your goodness. God, we celebrate new life in you today. And Lord, may this service, even now, be one where decisions are made for you, where we turn around, turn from our life of self, and choose to follow you obediently. Take care of us now, Lord. Protect us, I pray, as we head our separate ways. And give us a wonderful week. In your name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.